This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
I just wonder what it's like, because I find those countries, because my experience of like new people from New Zealand, it was super kind and very polite and well-spoken. But I find those are the countries that have the gnarliest parliaments with the most, like the British Parliament, the yelling that happens there is delightful. So I wish I had, I need to like do some more research. I wonder what their parliament is like.
Do you think they wear the cool little like hair pieces?
Most likely they're Commonwealth. I hope so. I like when they make the women wear them too. It cracks me up.
Right. The curls just wouldn't stay in right if it was their natural hair. Yeah, the struggle is
exactly.
real.
Exactly. It's trying to create equality, Kelsey. Yeah. They're trying to create equality.
Well, that's how it is in like marching bands and stuff. There's a like you wear the hats and stuff with your hair tucked up because you shouldn't be able to tell if someone's a boy or a girl out there on the field. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then you like put your hair in ponytail, and then the boys with the long hair, you got to put their hair up in the ponytail too, and teaching them how to use bobby pins. It's
two.
Great.
The whole thing. Four.
Podcast, we're making a podcast about 30 Rock. Podcast, we're making a podcast about 30 Rock. We're calling it Talk 30 to Me. It is great.
Hey guys, it's Kelsey.
I'm Kimmy.
And this is Talk 30 Rock to Me.
Talk 30 Rock to Me. Our podcast about all things 30 Rock, Liz Lemon, Night Cheese, and what else is on this show? Page uniforms.
Yes.
Ties, yep. Scotch. Mm-hmm. I'm just gonna start. Can I just keep listing things?
Oh, go for it. I just want to see how many more things you can list.
Sofas. political humor. All right, I hit my limit.
Lizards.
Lizards. Lizzing. Mm-hmm.
Lizzing. Oh, gross. And cut. Mm-hmm. Before we get started, just a reminder that if you buy things on Amazon this week or anytime, use our link that you can find at boardwalkaudio.com/talk30rocktome. Click support our artists and you can buy things on Amazon and we get some money back to buy fun things for ourselves and the podcast, not just ourselves, mostly ourselves.
So Kelsey, I know we've talked about this recently, but any good Amazon purchases of late?
Any good? Well, no, because I got into an argument with Amazon the last couple of days.
I'm sorry, what?
Because I couldn't log into my account and they kept saying, turn off your two-step verification. And I was like, do you see that it's on? No, like they confirmed it was off and then they kept telling me to turn it off. I'm like, number one, I can't log into my account to turn it off. So like it was like this whole thing. Like I called them late on a Saturday night and they said, you'll hear back from us in 1 to 2 days.
Late on a Saturday night, this will they, won't they, is killing me.
So that was 1 to 2 days and then they didn't call me back. So I waited 8 days and I called them back and I was like, hey, still can't log in. They're like, you'll get a response within 6 hours. 3 days later, still hadn't heard back, and I called and talked to the third lady. She's like, I can fix that for you, and within 30 seconds had it fixed. I was pissed. Mm-hmm. But so I couldn't buy anything on Amazon because of that. I couldn't log into my stinking account.
Duh.
I was annoyed. The struggle was real. First world problems right there.
Fair enough. Well, you know how I was supposed to buy a phone case?
Yep.
I didn't, but I will, and I will use our Boardwalk Audio Amazon link to do it.
You know what I did buy?
What'd you buy?
I'm now realizing, because I was still logged in on my iPad, I'm like, I thought I did buy something. That was a whole story about my phone and my computer. I couldn't log in. I bought us a new microphone and cable.
That's how we're doing
this. I forgot
right
about that.
Now.
I bought that.
This is very meta.
Yep, this is exciting. Now that we're done talking about the things that we like to spend money on.
It's a segment that's happened organically, but now it's my favorite segment of the show.
What did we spend money on?
Women be shopping, you know?
Story of our lives. We are not here alone today. It's not just women here. Today, we have Matt Manser. I pronounced your last name right?
That is correct.
Yay!
Matt Manser.
Yeah. It hasn't gone well every time.
No. Struggle. No.
This is the fifth take of this.
And we know him through another Boardwalk Audio podcast called Skeeterial.
Yes.
Is that how you pronounce it?
That's how you pronounce
it. You guys have been tearing it up.
tearing it up. We're searching for Skeeter from Muppet Babies and doing the best we can.
I love that so much. I listened to an episode of yours because I don't have a ton of memories about Muppet Babies. I have one very specific memory of it. And it's like, I was on my way to a Make-A-Wish trip because my older sister had leukemia. And we were like in the limo on the way to the airport. And we were watching Muppet Babies. It's kind of a very weird, very specific memory of it. Yep.
Yeah.
It was great. She's fine. She's fine. But yeah, that's what I, so I was listening to your guys' podcast. And I was like, oh yeah, that's what I can remember about that. But yeah, so Skeeter is missing. Skeeter is not in the adult Muppets.
Yeah. It's very troubling.
So I'm sure everyone asks you this, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Yeah, ask.
I was just curious, like, this is, it's the dumb, like, how, but I'm just really curious. What made you be like, this is bothering me enough where I'm really going to get to the bottom of this? Because I have things like this that bother me too, but I've never chased them hard.
Well, Eileen O'Connell and I, is my co-host. We worked together working on this for this website, and, we were, I guess, not doing our job. And I think I had posted on Facebook something about trying to figure out like which truth about how the Muppets All Met is real, because Muppet Babies suggests they all met in this nursery, whereas the Muppet movie suggests that Kermit was in the swamp, then he went on this road trip and met Fozzie and then Piggy and all these other people.
Yep.
And I didn't know like which one was real.
It's different canon. It's got to get established correctly.
Yeah. And then Eileen said, also, we never see Skeeter as an adult. And we're just like, whoa, oh my God, that's true. Where is she? And what happened to her? And then I think the mystery kept gnawing at us because that was like 2 years before we started the podcast.
That's awesome.
And then I saw that they're doing a reboot of Muppet Babies that I think comes out next year.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Well, we should really investigate
this.
Let's
get to the bottom of this and make sure that Skeeter gets the representation deserved.
Yeah. So it's our belief that the show Muppet Babies is real, is a documentary. I think we all can agree that's it's a real show depicting the real events of the Muppets. So the Muppet movie is not real.
And
I think this reboot of the Muppet Babies is sort of more like fan fiction.
Okay.
It's
I don't even know Skeeter.
Original. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I don't even know if Skeeter's going to be on the reboot or not, but it's not real. We don't know where the real Skeeter is. So.
Interesting.
Now they're going to try and erase. Oh, well, Skeeter never existed. That's going to be interesting. Damn. Where can you even watch Muppet Babies? Is it on Netflix or who? Where do you watch it?
Just on YouTube.
Oh, okay.
I love it. I just found another cartoon I grew up watching. I watched Squigglevision on YouTube the other day and it was great.
The only show that I've watched on YouTube is Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
Oh, snap.
Yep.
When are they going to make that with J-Lo? Anyway. who owns the rights to it, by the way?
That's amazing.
But this is a great mystery to get to the bottom of. Now, I mean, I'm assuming mysteries come to an end. You guys are working towards it. Do you already have your sights on another mystery in the future?
Is this your life work?
Yeah, we're watching an episode at a time. Mm-hmm. So we'll keep watching until we get to the end or until we find Skeeter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we have our eyes set on another mystery because this could take a while.
Fair enough.
It's very true.
I mean, take your time, and maybe this is your life. This is like your life's calling, is to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah.
When there's several seasons of Muppet. I didn't realize how many seasons there were, but I looked at it. There's like a bunch of seasons.
It's like 7 or 8. Yeah. It's over 100 episodes. We'll also, I think we're going to be going beyond the Muppet Babies.
Muppet canon.
The whole Muppet canon. The Muppets actually just performed at the Hollywood Bowl for 3 straight nights.
Oh, yeah. Did you guys go?
We went, and then we did an episode about that, looking for some clues. Skeeter was not there either.
Yeah.
We didn't expect her to be, but we were hopeful.
Hopeful. You never know. Yeah. Pops up from the side of the bowl, like, oh, hey, I'm still alive. I'm good.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, podcast is over.
You just see, like, the silhouette. You chase around the corner and gone. This is a noir in my mind. I'm sorry. I'm like really, really leaning in. This is great.
I like it.
Very cool.
Cool. Yeah. Well, before we get started with our 30-30 segment, what is what we call it, our meet cute? What was your meet cute with 30 Rock? Is this the first episode you've ever watched? Have you watched it? What's your story with 30 Rock?
I watched it all the way through when it was on. Always been a big Tina Fey fan. After either the first season or second season, me and my writing partner wrote a 30 Rock spec script.
Oh, no way.
So yeah, I have a history with 30 Rock.
Awesome.
Trying to remember what happened. I think we have a Liz dating a network censor.
That's really good.
I love that.
So there's some conflict there, uh-huh. You know, like the writers don't approve of it, that kind of
totally.
Thing.
Totally.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And I think it was before the Liz Jack friendship was firmly established. We kind of wrote it based on season 1 and 2,
okay.
And I think more of the later seasons were like that's kind of firmly established. So I think we're missing that in our spec, but other than that, I'm pretty happy with it.
That's mm-hmm. awesome. Have you really cool. rewatched it multiple times once at all since it finished?
No, I used to, for a while, Comedy Central showed reruns of it for a while.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, for a little bit after it went off the air. So I'd catch some reruns, but I hadn't rewatched it.
No, okay. WGN did. I didn't realize Comedy Central.
Oh, yeah,
that's
WGN
dope.
Too, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I haven't watched an episode in a couple years.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay.
Interesting. So then coming back to it, because what something we found is the way it ages is really interesting. Some of it is very timely and some of it is very outdated. I don't know. Coming back into it. And this episode, this one isn't as much of a topical one as other ones. But how did you find it aged on you coming back to it?
It's more like I don't know if I was really watching it again, sort of in the context of how it aged so much. It's like, oh yeah, I remember these jokes.
Yeah,
and
yeah
these
yeah.
were good jokes. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is the Night Cheese episode. Okay,
that's you got our it's the what is it called? The inspiration for our logo is this episode, mm-hmm. the Night Cheese.
I got yeah. so excited.
Me too. I was like, oh my gosh,
I lost
one.
It a little bit, but
yeah,
I remember that the Night Cheese song, but it sort of exists outside of the context of the plot line itself.
Totally.
That's how the show really works, though. The jokes stand on their own enough where, I don't have any sense of when what things happen. I don't remember what happens in the Muppet episode. I just remember it's a Muppet episode. You know, things mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the Simpsons, too. Like the Simpsons, like, if I rewatch that, it's like there's, like, so many famous lines. But if you watch an episode, oh, that line's in this episode. That has nothing to do with the rest of the story. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the same with, like 30 Rock stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any favorite characters or stories that you remembered from your first time watching through that you really, really enjoyed?
I don't know. It's hard to remember. There's so much. When you're talking about the Muppet, obviously, I have a Muppet podcast, so kind of seeing the world as Muppets was pretty great.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah. We just talked about that one like 3 or 4 episodes ago, so that was...
Yeah.
We like that one a lot.
It's such a good episode.
Apollo,
it's absolutely
Apollo.
Amazing. Her and Carlock must have like a weird relationship with the Muppet team, because then they got that Sesame Street episode and Kimmy Schmidt. That's very weird.
Oh, that's right.
I just like wonder what is the Henson viewpoint on, because they do weird things with Muppets. And I'm very intrigued if the Hensons, because the Hensons are very protective of their property.
Yeah.
As I've seen many a time, they're really intense about what goes out. And so sometimes after that Kimmy Schmidt episode, I was like, how did they feel about this?
Yeah,
I'm very curious.
Yeah.
Intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
But I guess I would love to know, particularly as someone who, you know, loves comedy, writes and all this stuff, what do you think makes 30 Rock unique? Like, obviously, we really love it. We think it's incredible. But we find a lot of people experience the show very differently. We find it's very meaningful to a lot of people who work in comedy and who love comedy. What is the show? What makes the show unique to you, or what makes it stand out?
Yeah, I think just like the writing is mm-hmm. it's just so good. It's just like well crafted jokes, like in different kinds of jokes too. It's like some are character driven, some are just funny lines, but it's just like they're just always coming at you all
constantly
different ways. Yeah.
Definitely. I think it's exhausting sometimes.
Yeah. And it's just like, yeah, well defined characters who I'll have a unique character game, and I sort of take that to extremes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if like Kenneth or Tracy, if I don't know how much if those people would exist in reality, but kind of they make you believe it somehow that these characters could exist.
Yeah, that real people exist. I mean, if you've ever seen Tracy in real life or any of his interviews, like, oh look, that is a real human being.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's an interesting. They make you love extreme things on this show. I think it's the main reason I know growing up my parents didn't like it. They're like, it's just weird. It's just too weird. But that's what I loved. It made me fall in love with like loving people for their quirks and their strange moments and really like,
yeah.
I don't know, cherishing those things about people that were not, that people are weird and out mm-hmm. there. And that's really wonderful.
Yeah. Even like the Liz and Jack friendship, they're like very different people,
mm-hmm.
but they still, they can look past whatever political or any other kind of differences they may have, which is in today's climate is kind of
unheard of.
Unique
yeah.
and maybe something we should be working towards.
Right. Very much. I think yeah. that's an excellent point. And that's what's so, I think, healing about this show is you get so many different people all like dealing and like overall like loving each other, even though they drive each other nuts.
Yeah.
It's very pleasant to watch.
I think so, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Cool. Well, should we move on to 30-30?
30-30.
Cool. I think, are you doing 30-30 today?
Yes, it's very short.
Okay.
I've been really afraid of all these American Horror Story cult commercials. I don't like them. These ads around town are the worst, but Cheyenne Jackson's in them. That's all.
Oh, is he really?
He's in it. He looks like, it's so funny because it's Danny, but he's like really serious. He's got those like giant eyes.
Which if you've never watched Third Rock before, you don't know who Danny is yet, but he's coming.
Oh, oops. Sorry. We just talked about it before. So I was yeah. like, oh, we all know who Danny is. He's just, that was, it's literally that. He's in the trailer. I'm assuming he's in it. I'm not going to watch it. Looks very scary. Sarah Paulson looks upset. I don't like when Sarah Paulson's mm-hmm. upset. It made me cry in OJ. So it's not something I'm going to watch, but I keep watching Hulu and I think it's been mainly Hulu. It's the only place I ever see commercials anymore is on Hulu, and they keep playing it and I don't like it.
So I want to know what you're watching, because I'm watching Will and Grace and all of my previews are for Great News. So what are you watching that you're getting the American Horror Story?
I can't remember what
theory,
I was watching now that I think about it. That's an excellent question.
That's, I don't know if it's because like, I'm getting the sitcoms because I'm watching an NBC sitcom. So I don't know if
Hulu's smart enough. I only watch sitcoms. Maybe it was the when I was watching a lot of Rick and Morty.
Oh, maybe. Yeah,
that's
the, like,
dark. The only thing I think of, because I've been watching Superstore.
Yeah.
Superstore's not going to be an American Horror Story cult.
Who else has your login?
Oh, literally with the girls I live with, it's literally Superstore and Mindy Project. That is all we're watching. I mean, maybe there's a Mindy Project American Horror Story like audience crossover.
Yeah, there must be.
But it's been really disturbing. I'm not a fan. I can't remember what I've been watching before that would do it. I only watch comedy, so nothing that earns that. I'm not interested. And I will not watch it, because I tried to watch one of them once on a plane next to a TV critic,
oh.
and or she was watching it, and it was just Adam Levine having weird sex with someone, and I was like on
Adam
a plane,
Levine,
and I wasn't happy to be there.
Adam Levine is in American Horror Story?
The Maroon 5. I didn't just say the one that's on Workaholics, right? I flip them around.
You said the Maroon 5
okay,
guy.
Okay, cool. Yes, yeah, he's on an episode of American Horror Story.
I didn't know he was on
yeah,
American
and he just, like,
Horror
Story. Yeah, it's like a classic horror thing where he's like having sex with his girlfriend and then they get killed. But I was just like trying to be on a plane and this woman next to me was watching it because she was a TV critic. and I was just horrified. So I was scarred. I can't do it. But Cheyenne Jackson's in it. So that's fun. Good for him.
That's good.
Getting
maybe that's why it popped up as a commercial. Like, oh, you watch 30 Rock. Here's
there.
Commercial.
That's
oh, yeah. That's
the number one
true.
Thing I would think, actually.
That makes
more sense than anything else, because I was not
happy
about
it. Or it says, I've
it.
Heard you screaming in horror about 30 Rock leaving Netflix. Here's something else
Here's
horror
30
related.
Rock horror. Yeah, exactly. You like 30 Rock horror. No, I... Oh,
we hear your tears.
Yeah. Not a fan. Not a fan. Else. But, you know, good. Ryan Murphy is very successful. Good for him. I liked The People vs. O.J. Simpson. Mm-hmm. So make more of that.
I like it. Cool. Well, do you happen to have anything?
We pretty much literally this will be like, I ran into Jack McBrayer on the street. It's like the silliest thing, but we just will see. Oh, we saw something having to do with 30 Rock this weekend. It made us think of 30 Rock.
Let's see. I do it once before 30 Rock when I just had seen Jack McBrayer on Conan. I was in a sitcom spec writing class, and for stage reading, someone had to read their spec. Jack McBrayer was one of the people reading.
Oh, cool.
Part of the spec script reading.
I like that.
Maybe like 12 years ago or something.
Oh my god,
that's really cool.
It's a baby.
Yeah. I was like, oh, it's that guy from Conan who's really funny. And then he was on 30 Rock after that.
He's so funny.
And then he became so
also,
much
I love
more.
Him on Conan every time. Yeah. Just like Conan would be so mean to him.
Yeah.
It was so sad.
Well, it's just like his role in 30 Rock.
Pretty much. Everyone's just mean to him because he's so smiley. You just like,
yeah.
He'll just smile through it. That's really cool, though.
the episode we're going to talk about today is season 3, episode 19 of 30 Rock, The Ones.
You know, this is a word I invented to describe my the love of my life. I invented this.
You were the first person.
I'm the first person.
But you'd be
why?
Like,
where did you hear
you'd be
it?
Like, La Une. Like, you'd go French or something.
El Uno. That was my favorite. Or how would I say the one? I don't know. Oh.
Yeah. La on.
Long.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah.
We got our
friends. Did we all take French?
Yeah.
I think we might have.
I did.
Long.
Or noon, depending on the gender,
I guess Kimmy would be, yeah. You're talking about a male or a female. Mm-hmm. Wait, funny. Like, I'm glad. So when we get to this later on, there's this whole screen that pops up that's all in Spanish. And I sent it to a friend to be like, what does this say?
Amy translated it for me because she was here. Yeah.
That's how I sent it to John. And I'm like, what does it say? I don't want to type it into
does
Google Translate.
Spanish? Mm-hmm. Very good for him. Spanish? No, Amy translated. My sister translated. She watched these episodes with me this morning.
I like it.
And she translated all of it. So I wrote down some of it.
I love it.
Very
thorough. Okay. So this episode aired on April 23rd, 2009. Director was Beth McCarthy Miller. And writer was Jack Burton. It. My office is calling me. I'm not going to answer you. Go away. My recap for this episode is that Jenna falls in love with a paramedic and goes to extremes to find him. The Prinksmen go to extremes to teach Jenna a lesson. And Jack learns of the extremes that Elisa has gone to while in love and goes to Tracy for advice.
Your thematic writing is just getting better and better. I just want to like bring that out. You're like, ooh, extremes.
I found a pattern.
Yeah.
I just wanted to call that out and just like affirm you, though.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thematically, you're doing excellent.
Every like 3 or 4 episodes, I'm like, I'm going to take the time to write out a recap versus like, and then this happened and then that happened.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the first storyline we should talk about is Jenna and this paramedic.
What soap opera did they find him on? I mean,
he's
seriously,
beautiful.
That hair, that head of hair. That's like, he
I
looks
thought it
like,
might have been the hair at first.
No, he looks like, you know what he reminds me? It reminds me of the singer in That Thing You Do that all the women are in love with.
I haven't seen that in a very
TV
long time.
Show reference? Is this Two Orange County? All right. Anyway, reminded me of someone from That Thing You Do. That's all.
Yeah, I've probably seen that movie once.
It's filmed in Orange when we were 6. You have to. Have you seen? Okay, Matt, have you seen That Thing You Do?
I think I've seen most of it in chunks.
I'll take it. I'll take what I can get. It's Tom Hanks' directorial debut, and it's a delight. The music is incredibly catchy. The writer of the music now, right? He wrote Stacey's Mom.
Yes, the guy from Fountains of Wayne.
And now he writes for a lot of the Craziest Girlfriend songs.
Oh, interesting.
He's amazing. And the movie is adorable. And it's where we got Tom Everett Scott. God bless. That's all. Anyway, how did we get here? He looks like someone who would be in that movie.
There we go. I was like, I don't remember how we got there.
No.
The episode opens with this crazy, like, there's these quick little racist things that get said by them about, like, Tracy's like, if I have a strawberry.
Oh, are we repeating them?
Not completely. So we learn that that Kenneth has a strawberry allergy.
Mm-hmm. Plot device.
Yes. Yes, this entire episode is about that. And like, they just do these two little, like, about there's the sexist thing about females and then something about Filipinos that we don't know about. And then I like that they cut that off because I don't know what that is. If I really went to go, what do you think they were going to say?
Nope.
That a Filipino? No, we're not going to talk about that.
Here's our new segment. What was the racist thing they were trying to do? And the segment is over.
real quick. But so Kenneth ends up eating a strawberry and the paramedics show up. No. The paramedics show up because of Lutz. Because Lutz gets hurt.
Oh, because the Pranksmen are at it again.
I guess these stories kind of intertwined. Yeah, that the Pranksmen are at it again. They trick Lutz they freak him out because there's a mouse in a box and he runs into the monitor and the monitor falls on. The paramedics show up.
Overreaction.
And Jenna starts flirting with this beautiful paramedic. And then he leaves and then it's like, how do I get him back? So there's a whole story with Scott Adds. It's with Pete. And I just love when he's like, there's a story of the girl who's at the funeral and she meets the love of her life. And how does she get him to come back? Well, you kill the father. And Jenna like jumps on that and knows. And so very quickly, Pete realizes, oh, this was not a good idea to give to Jenna.
We just have it's a sociopath. I love this buildup of just like, how do you know if she's a sociopath? And she immediately takes it as like, oh, this is a good plan.
Yes.
Of action.
Mm-hmm.
No, I really enjoy. I love. First of all, the past few episodes have been using Lutz a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to like validate how great of a choice that is.
Yes, John Lutz is Well,
I think
done.
That's something I really gained in these rewatches is how much I enjoy Lutz as a character, mm-hmm. And how much, particularly the real John Lutz, leans into the performance of the 30 Rock John Lutz.
I agree, because I think the first time, like, watching 30, we're not really paying attention as in detail as we are now. Like, you kind of start thinking about Lutz the same way everyone else does on the show. You know, oh, he's just the goofy, like, he's never going to go anywhere in life. And now really having the time to dig in and really appreciate
gross he is?
Yeah, well, how, and how sad it is to be him. I yeah. think that's part of it too.
Yeah, he's a sad man.
Yeah.
Very, very sad.
Yeah. Very, very sad.
Very heartbreaking.
Poor Lutz.
I know, but I also just love that his gut. I also, he reminded me, it just was such a weird, I can't imagine being that afraid of a mouse. That's all. Anyway, at this point, that was just a dumb Lutz moment.
Yeah.
But Lutz it, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess he never said that he's that scared of mice, but I guess we've find that out.
Well, like
then and there.
Have you ever freaked out? Like, one of my roommates texted me and my other roommate the other day, like, oh, by the way, there's a mouse in the garage. And one of the things where, like, when I was school, like, people had pet mice or whatever. We had them in the classroom for whatever we're doing. And I was never scared of them. But if I'm in the garage at midnight barefoot and a mouse runs in front of me, I'm screaming.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like,
all.
Wouldn't you if you open a box and then all of a sudden this mouse goes running around? Like, I think I don't know if I'd scream the way he did and, like, running around sort of a thing, but I think we're all jumpy a little bit.
Lutz is an idiot. Continue.
Well then.
Anyway.
So Jenna wants to see the paramedic again, so she puts Strawberry in Kenneth's sandwich, and she's standing there, like, creepily watching him, and then the paramedics show up and she learns, oh, there's shifts because the hot guy is not there. Which, of course, there's shifts, Jenna.
I just love a rom-com. I love a good rom-com. And I love a rom-com with a sociopath inserted in it. Because this guy, it's like a perfect meet-cute, right? Like, she works there. He's saving someone's life. And they put this absurd man to be this character for her.
Well, and she learns. She's like, I'm sorry. You're a big fan of mine and you're not gay. Not even by curious. And he's like, I love your show. I read your blog. I've got all your albums, even the one you did with Phil Spector. I still think that would have sounded better if you had shot me in the face, which is the second Phil Spector reference in this show.
We get so many. Him and Mickey Rourke. Yeah. Those are her two. They kind of switched him out for Mickey Rourke once The Wrestler came out.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, so he. So now it's like, okay, I got to do this again to get the paramedic here,
mm-hmm.
right? And so the paramedic comes.
Well, she goes.
What
to,
is it?
She goes to Pete, and that, like you said, she asks his opinion. So she poisons Ken, then he goes down, and then it's the two lady paramedics, to which she's very disappointed.
Yeah.
She realizes it shifts, but then they fake it. That's what happens. The pranksmen are at it again to make her learn her ways.
Yes.
And that's where we realize she's just dumb.
Yeah.
She's not a sociopath. She's just dumb.
What does Pete end up saying about, like, psychopath downgraded to extreme narcissist?
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is completely appropriate. But then it all comes around to, she didn't like him anyway because he had a kid. Which is just typical Jenna, I think, just to be super into somebody and then, oh, wait, by the way.
Yeah. Which I want to connect this with, did you have any other thoughts about this plotline?
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. There was a weird moment where they were talking, and I was hoping you researched it. Jack later is talking to someone, and he makes reference to Daryl Strawberry.
He was a Dodger. He was on the Dodgers, and he was a Christian pastor, too. He was a preacher. Just kind of a random
Pastor Strawberry.
Yeah, I know, right?
Oh my gosh.
I was adorable. Like, Daryl Strawberry.
Yeah, it was like such a weird tie-in. So I thought it must be a fake name. They're like, we couldn't find a reference this week. Just use Strawberry.
Mm-hmm.
But it was better than that.
Yeah, that he once went to Miami with Daryl Strawberry. I'm like, all right. I guess
so
you did.
That doesn't sound that crazy though, if he's a pastor.
Yeah.
No, Daryl Strawberry was like took a bunch of drugs.
Ooh, oh,
was
that before?
Yeah, I've got the info.
When you
give
look him up now,
he's a Strawberry download.
He started with the Mets in the 80s. And then I don't know, in the late 80s, early 90s, he got busted. He was like did cocaine a whole bunch and got suspended and his career basically ended.
And then he found the Lord.
I guess, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
I didn't know he became a pastor. But.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, yeah, that's like the first thing that it popped up where, Daryl Eugene Strawberry Sr. is an American former professional baseball right fielder and an ordained Christian minister and author. He had a 17-year career in Major League Baseball.
Hmm.
And he
good for him.
Kind of
turned it around.
Yeah. Was he in the Yankees too? A popular part-timer with the crosstown Yankees in the 90s. So he went to the Mets and then went to the Yankees.
Yeah.
Damn. All right. Mr. Strawberry.
Good to know. I just found that to be an interesting little like tie-in that they did.
You think
the
it's intentional or?
Oh, I think so.
I imagine. It's just so weird to hear the word strawberry in two different contexts. It's like yeah. the homonym they play later. It's like, oh, which strawberry is it? Daryl or the fruit? No, the right. other one.
Yeah.
The other strawberry.
Exactly.
And because that's not a common last name.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Never heard it before. It's the last name in my life.
In this storyline, we get, so Kenneth, right before he's about to die the first time, he yells as he's choking, "My real name is Dick Whitman," which I was like, I was like, Dick Whitman. And I assumed he was somebody NBC related. And then, I guess he's
Mad. Oh, no, that's a Mad. Yeah.
Which I've watched Mad Men, but it's been a while and it was like not all the seasons. But yeah, so that's Don Draper's real name. You learn.
Spoiler.
Sorry. Don Draper, who's John Hamm. So that's like a nice little crossover right there.
No.
Yeah. Have you ever watched Mad Men?
I did not watch Mad Men. I pretty much only watch comedies.
Fair enough.
Blame you. Mad Men's sad. All my friends thought their boyfriends were cheating on them when they'd watch Mad Men. And I'm like, you know what? If they're watching Mad Men, maybe they are.
They're getting ideas. Like,
I have feelings, but whatever. No, but I love that tie-in. Because Kenneth, we're getting this real picture of Kenneth by this point. And we're getting this real picture that he's, what am I trying to say? That he's like, about his like, life and its death, and it's very mysterious. You don't quite know when he was born, you don't quite know where he comes from other than Stone Mountain, Georgia. And then he gets all these weird tie-ins with TV pop culture. If this were American Gods, he would be the spirit of television. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, this is like, is he immortal or something? Do we
find
that out?
We're slowly kind of learning that there's something
strange afoot.
He's not just in his late 20s or early 30s as you would think.
Yeah. There's just too many weird little things they hint at.
And then he also, when he does die, he says he brought something back with him.
Yeah, I think I brought something back with me. And then the
shadow and the little the cold.
Yeah. Poor Kenneth.
What does that mean?
I know, right? Like,
is he like possessed by a spirit?
Something like that. I don't know. Or he doesn't have a soul anymore. He's cold on the inside. I don't.
We'll find out in season 2 of Stranger Things. So,
that'd be great.
I want Kenneth Parcell to pop up in that so badly.
Mm-hmm.
He would look exactly the same whether it's the 80s or the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm. He would fit that world really well. Actually, he's just one of the kids, though. They don't ever talk about the fact that he's an adult,
right?
He just hangs out with all those kids.
Yeah, I'd watch that.
I'd watch that too. I'm actually. We'll pitch it.
I didn't watch season 1, but I'd watch it if it was Kenneth.
You know what? Worth your time. But also, if you don't like dramas, don't do it.
That's true. It's not a comedy.
I watched the first episode just to see what the fuss was about. But
did you see what the fuss was about?
I mean,
this is a safe space. You can say what you think about Stranger Things. If
no,
you
I'm just not. It's not into it. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We get it. It's Stand By Me.
Yeah.
I also love Stranger Things, so this hurts me to even say it, but I do agree. That's literally all I got from this plotline. I thought it was just really funny. I think I just really liked seeing Pete. And basically any Pete storyline is the storyline for me.
Mm-hmm. I wrote, I think it was in this episode, that it was very weird to me that for, like, you hear a lot in the show how much Pete, like, tends to not like his life, whether he's married with the kids. Like, he just, he's kind of a grumpy man about it. But for somebody who doesn't like his kids, there are a lot of pictures that his kids have drawn on the wall of his office. Like, he opens up the door and you can just see, like, okay, there's a... something soft.
There's a soul somewhere within Pete Hornberger.
Somebody somewhere in there.
I just really also love the Pranksmen. I think that's the last thing I would say about this storyline.
Yes.
They're absolutely adorable and dumb. Just that shot when later we see Jack being like, there are no men in this office, and he opens the door and you see them like, what if we had fedoras? Yeah, with can they have feathers? Flash forward to all of them, and Frank's is just the hat.
It says fedora.
It says fedora on it.
Did the Pranksmen ever come back? I don't remember them in other episodes.
A handful
are they?
Of, like, maybe, I couldn't remember if this was the first time that's seen. I think it is the first time we've seen them, but they come back once, maybe twice more.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, it's not enough that you went, oh yeah, we've seen this before, but it's not like completely recurring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember any of their other pranks though, but I know they do come back. Mm-hmm. I keep confusing them when I'm thinking, oh, the Pranksmen, it's not, it's the Best Friends Gang. When Kelsey Grammer's on with Jenna and Kenneth, like, it's not the same thing, but they do their whole little birthday cake with Sprinkles Cupcake. I can't remember what it is. Some cake place. Later on.
I think we should talk about Alisa.
Talk about
that's
Alisa.
That's the whole point. Alisa.
Yeah.
La Negra. Amy.
La Viegra. Yeah.
La Viegra. Whatever.
So,
I don't know Spanish. We also covered French.
So this is the first time we've seen Alisa since episode 12. So this is, we're episode 19. So, and it's been, we saw her the end of February and it's now the end of April. So it's been about 2 months since we've seen her.
And we've missed her dearly.
Yes. Like, she missed Jack's birthday. We've heard her referenced a few times, but it's the first time we've seen her. And so it starts with, is she in at Liz's apartment or is she in Liz's office when she pops up?
Be the office.
Office.
Apartment would be too crazy.
Yeah,
well, so that works out later,
right?
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's Puerto Rican how she greets her, and you find out that Lisa's been back for a couple weeks, but she can't accept his proposings of marriage because she has a deep dark secret. And so Lemon, you just tell Jack.
They just turn her into an entire soap opera.
Oh, 100%.
They just turn into a telenovela. A novella. I can't. Telenovela, like, plot line.
Yes.
And she meets it in such stride. Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed with Selma Hayek on this show. I think she is the funniest thing. She is easily my favorite of the girlfriends.
Did you see, so like, this is, like, I know Selma Hayek in general, but, like, this is what I know her from mostly. But I just saw, this will be a 30-30 at some point, The Hitman's Bodyguard.
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, my gosh. She's in it. And I did not realize she was in it. And I'm like, this is hilarious.
How was she?
Oh, amazing. She's, like, the badass wife of the bad guy in prison the whole time. And she, like, yells at him. Like, it's, yeah, it's
That's
adorable.
Funny.
I guess she's Samuel Jackson's wife.
Ha!
Yeah.
You're right, that's funny.
Yeah,
that's
it's great.
Funny.
It's fantastic.
I just think she's so, because she's super hot. Let's just put it out there.
Yeah.
She's super hot. They make that very clear. And she's incredibly funny. She has really good timing. She uses her body really well to be mm-hmm. funny. I love watching her. And it just, this show makes me sad that she hasn't done more comedy.
Yeah.
And that she probably hasn't had good roles given to her for comedy. I didn't see Beatrice for Dinner. It looked sad. So I don't know if she was very funny in it or not.
I've never heard of that.
That was that movie that just came out with her where she was like, she's the holistic healer. And it's basically like a class war movie.
Okay.
It looked like a lot of people being mean to each other. So that's not my genre.
Not so fun.
Unless it's Veep. That's the only mean thing I watch. Because it's perfect. But anyway, that's my diatribe. This is my plea to the world. Give Selma Hayek more work. Because she's she has a lot of work. But give her more because she's so funny.
Yes.
That's all. I think I said my piece.
Give her a sitcom.
Yeah, let her
something.
I would give her a Netflix sitcom.
Well, sure. I wonder
if she produce Ugly Betty. I believe she was an executive producer on Ugly Betty. I'm like 90% sure.
I think so.
Dope.
I can look this up.
So great. Discovering America Ferrera, kind of. America Ferrera was on that Disney Channel movie. But
also, I'm pretty sure Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants was before that.
I think
really?
Ugly Betty was what did it. America Ferrera was in Si Se Puede, that movie, Gotta Kick It Up, and then she was in Ugly Betty, and then she was in Traveling Pants. This is going to get ugly. We're going to get into this. This be discussed.
Hold up. No, Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants was 05, Ugly Betty was 06.
No, shut up. All right, I take it back. I was very confident. Well, Kelsey, my hat, my proverbial pranksman hat.
Your fedora.
With my feather that only you two can see. But can swear that it exists.
It is a great
fedora. It's very real.
It's beautiful, right?
Yeah.
It is green with a blue feather, like that screen of the information you see. In the episode, there's like the screenshot of the computer screen, and like Liz makes a joke about it where it's like blue on green.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, she says the writing, the text. She's
why
why'd you put text on green?
Yeah, so I was saying you've got the blue feather
and
the green hat.
Oh, so that's what it is, the green hat. Great.
Sorry, it's a lot more funny when you have to like describe a joke in detail.
Yeah.
That's my comedy. So.
Yeah, you've got that diagram and mm-hmm. you have right and you
it's a lot of
laser
gone.
Pointer.
Yeah, exactly. So the joke started here, but it ended here.
I love it.
So that's my thing. I love her.
Yes. So she's back. So then Liz is like working up the courage to tell Jack, like, sorry, Alisa is not coming back to see you. And then she shows up in the office anyway. Alisa does. And I love you and I'm back and all that good stuff. And so they're in love. And Liz is like, well, you got to tell her anyway. You've got to tell Jack. And mm-hmm. like, no, you're going to blah, blah. And she pulls her hair. Ah, and they're all excited.
I really like that Liz thinks the secret is that she's a man.
Oh my god.
And then
gosh.
She's like, do you want to see me naked? And Liz's gut response is like, kind
of. Sort of, yeah. And then she kisses her and she's like, well, I see why he likes it.
This is all of us, man. This is all of us when we're just overwhelmed by how good looking people are.
Right? Oh my goodness. So then they're having a, so Jack and Elise and Liz are having a discussion and they say, oh, because Jack is like, did she say anything to you about wanting to keep her maiden name? And so they end up saying her full name and the janitor, whoever's in there, the lady who's in there, freaks out when she hears Elisa's name.
Mm-hmm. Black widow.
Yeah. And they keep calling her the, we're going to try and pronounce this, Viuda Negra, V-I-U-D-A. La Viuda Negra.
This is a very white room right now. I can't speak to this. Not trying to out you, Matt, hey. But you'll own it. All right, good.
Yeah, so they end up looking up and finding out that she's the Black Widow and that she previously killed her. She killed her prior husband. And oh my goodness, they're freaking out. So this screen pops up. What did Amy tell you that it's explaining what
it says? The Black Widow. Don't make her mad. I wrote, better to pretend there are no other women in the world.
Uh-huh.
Do not demonstrate laughter. Do not touch women without her permission. Do not touch her without her permission.
Yeah.
Amy basically said it sounds like they just asked them to speak Spanish and be like, just make this guy sound very upset.
Oh, and I sent a screenshot of it to John and I was like, did this say anything particularly funny? I imagine it's talking about a woman named the Black Widow who killed her husband. And he's like, so she's known for killing her husband. Don't look at anyone else. Don't touch anyone else. Don't even pretend to like anyone else. She's a beautiful woman. It's dangerous to think anything else. It's like, it's not like it's one particular sentence that's funny, but it's just going for the absurdity of it being over the top. I'm like, sounds about right.
Yeah, Amy was like, I remember it being funnier. It's pretty funny in Spanish. I was like, great.
And then oh my goodness, yeah. So that happens. And because they're like, we need somebody who speaks Spanish. And Elisa pops up saying, I speak Spanish. And so she admits what happened. And then she, why are you not in prison? Because they couldn't get an impartial jury because of that song that came out.
Jaleesa, Jaleesa.
Which we've been singing that song for months.
No, it's because every time I think of Elisa, I think of that song.
That's all you think of.
Sister.
But there's it goes to the picture of the band. And I swear the guy in front looks like Zach Braff. Like the guy in front of the whole band.
It's not though.
I thought it was him. I took a picture of it because I swear it freaking looks like Zach Braff.
His post Garden State career move.
Right. But like
during Strub still.
Look at this. He looks like Zach Braff, the guy in front.
Oh, damn it. It actually does. I was going to make a lot of fun of you and that actually looks like
it. It does look like Zach
Braff. Can I see it? Can I see your phone?
Yes. I'll post a picture of this so other people can agree with us.
Dear Lord, he has Zach Braff face.
Right?
I like was so ready to mock you, Kelsey. I apologize.
I appreciate, like, I was like, dang, like, it looks like freaking Zach Braff.
He's got such Zach Braff face. Dear Lord.
But so he's in the band. Maybe it's Zach Braff.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even think to look at Zach Braff's credits, but it wasn't even mentioned in the, what's that thing called? In the AV Club article or anything. So Zach Braff is in an episode of Community as JD.
Yes. He also shows up as JD in one of the later episodes of Undateable because it was created by the same creator, Bill Lawrence.
I forgot he's in two episodes. Sorry, now I'm looking at it.
Let's go on the career of Zach Braff.
Let's have.
I wrote a Scrub spec also.
Ooh,
that's true.
I love
that's
it.
Fun. What era of Scrubs are you capturing? Earlier years, mid years, the final years, interns.
That would have been. We probably wrote it like after season 3.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So.
Oh, it's still good.
All right. Early-ish. So still, I mean, that was a.
Yeah,
a
solid.
That's a show we don't talk about anymore culturally, and I think it's because
it's off of Netflix now.
That's partially it. Everything's off of Netflix.
I know.
Everything illegal happens in New Jersey. That was a Hamilton quote. I'm sorry. I don't care about New Jersey either way. I'm just making it worse.
It's all right. We'll just keep going. So. They're trying to be like, you know what, Jack, like, so at one point, Jack's kind of trying to justify, like, everyone, or Liz's, everyone had a bad day, everyone makes mistakes, somewhere right now, someone is on a J-date with Monica Lewinsky, which this just made me think, have you read Bossy Pants?
No.
Not, so, Tina Fey's book, Bossy Pants, she has a whole story about Monica Lewinsky in it.
I don't remember it.
Oh, you don't remember, so I can't remember when it was, but she, like, got a text or call from one of her friends saying, get down here right now, like I'm hanging out with Monica Lewinsky. And so she went and she says that the one time that she learned something from Monica Lewinsky, and that she learned that when you're applying facial cream, use your ring finger instead of your middle finger because it puts on softly. But she ends up saying like that I can't remember if it was right after everything happened. It must have been right after everything happened. But her just talking about, like, her having drinks with Monica Lewinsky and someone's, and that was the advice that she received. Monica Lewinsky was like, when you're putting on night cream. And she makes some joke, though, about, like, whoever the reporter was that, like, Monica Lewinsky spilled everything to right after it happened, based on how freewheeling Monica was talking with Tina and them, like, maybe she wasn't quite the journalist, the reporter you thought she was, because she was very forgiving of information. But that just made me think of that story from Boston.
That's funny. I forgot that she interacted with Monica Lewinsky, but now that you say that, I do remember that. Interesting. Well, Monica Lewinsky's been doing a lot of press and stuff lately too. She like did a whole like forgive me thing, but I think they kind of shut it down because it was pre-election. I think the Clintons were like,
you go hide under carpet for a while longer.
This is not your moment right now. It's not your moment. Bad timing, Monica.
We're already having issues with Bill's other women. Like, let's.
How did we get here?
Oh, sorry. we're 7 months behind. Sorry, guys. 8 months, 9 months, 10. What? It's October now.
It's been almost
point.
A year.
Yeah, it's been.
Oh, man.
Moment of silence for 2017.
Oy vey. This took a dark turn.
Bring it down.
Real quick.
Let's go back to the 30 Rock in the Bush years when things are good. Still in the Bush years, or is Obama?
This is 2009, so Obama.
Obama, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, we've okay.
The good years at this point. Remember when. But so it comes down to Elisa's like, well, as long as you promise never to cheat on me, you'll be fine. And Jack doesn't think he can commit to that. And so they end up breaking up.
That's literally what happens, which is, yeah. I just love Liz's absolute frustration with it. Well, like, they just, that he can't promise. He's like, what if I'm in an ice cave
with a
comely, love the word comely, a comely geologist. He's an idiot. But also, I would not marry Elisa. That sounds like a terrible plan.
Oh, totally. I was trying to think, though, if you were dating somebody and you're in a serious, or maybe you were even married at that point, and then you found out something from your past, if you found out the person you were married to, or married to is like the, like, you can break up with a boyfriend, girlfriend, like, you're married to somebody, what from their past would be unforgivable?
This is too big a question, man. This is scary.
Murder, definitely.
Would be murder if they came out.
There's lesser things too, but definitely murder.
Well, so should no murder ever be in a serious relationship ever again?
I'm fine with that.
I think it would depend on, like, not the type of, like,
what murderers do you know that you're like, but if they're so romantic.
I guess it's not considered murder if it's self-defense or something like that. But right. but also if you were a murderer and it was years ago, you were a stupid teenager, you know, you're old, you're like, oh my goodness, and you've gone through therapy, you figured your stuff out. At what point in dating do you share that information with the person you're dating? Like, fun fact. When I was little, I used to, or whatever, like,
I used to kill people.
Yeah, just for fun on the weekend.
I used to kill a person.
Yeah, just once.
I used to kill a person over and over. It was a weird quantum leap situation.
Yeah. I just couldn't decide, like, if there's ever a, like, because you hear stories of somebody who's like husband and like she stuck with them through prison. Like, would you? I don't know.
I clearly have no tolerance.
I know,
like,
yeah,
no, nope. To the curb. No, I just
as
like,
the cops are pulling up to take him away, you're calling your lawyer. Like, by the way.
Like, serve the
Jimmy's
papers.
Gone.
You're getting the papers in prison.
Right. Where are you being sent to?
Consider yourself served. Right. No, I like literally, this is just a very dark question. And
I know, sorry.
No, it's not. I'm glad you asked the hard questions, Kelsey. This episode is just weirdly dark. I think I like your answer. Murder. It's probably the line for me.
That's the line. I like it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't like murder. So I want to make sure I'm very clear on that. I'm not pro murder.
I don't know if
put that knife
clear.
Down.
My other question I had, so like, oh, okay, because the opening scene is Jack and Liz at the jewelry store.
Oh my gosh, that guy behind the jewelry counter is a gem. Like, ha, get it? Jewelry gem.
She's very spirited, bada-bing. Like a show horse. And Jack pulls out the, do either of you have physical pictures in your wallet anymore?
I'm not a 50-year-old man.
I have never had pictures in my wallet.
Okay, I definitely did when I was in like high school.
Yeah, if you and your friends, like, yeah, at the time. No, I don't. I don't have photos in my wallet. But it's a plot point.
Yeah. Okay, but
Jack, it makes sense.
I guess it does.
Jack would do that.
But the picture he pulled out of Lisa, I wrote down, I was like, oh, she's wearing the red dress from the quinceañera a couple of episodes.
The one that makes her look super hot.
Well,
yeah.
But then you see her like the next time later in the episode, she's wearing what looks, I thought it was the same dress, but it's a top that's red, frilly, low cut.
The same one.
And then she's wearing the red dress later. So she has a red top, low cut, and the low cut red dress.
Do you mean the woman who is famous for having an incredible body has some low cut tops?
I don't. That it's the red, which maybe like red's supposed to like evil blood, like maybe that's what's playing into that.
Maybe there is like the whole like and the very emotional, right?
Yeah,
she
yeah,
just
yeah.
keeps flying off the handle. The red usually means passion.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, but I was just like, oh, it's a picture from the quinceañera. Oh no, maybe it was a picture from every day because it sounds like she wears the same thing every day.
I'm glad we're getting to the logistics of when this photo was taken. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was just a screenshot that they printed out from the show.
Probably true.
Most likely. I like her t-shirt. With the
frack. Which, okay, apparently.
I'm so sorry to have this conversation with you while I'm wearing such a silly t-shirt.
Which apparently was made specifically for this episode, and then they sold it. It was not like a pre-existing Battlestar Galactica shirt.
Wait, what the frack is a Battlestar Galactica quote?
Mm-hmm. Frack is their F word.
Oh, I thought people just said that.
Mm-mm. It's a Battlestar
Galactica.
She's
a Battlestar Galactica fan? This is a twist.
Apparently.
Apparently.
Did you peg her, Elisa, as like a Battlestar fan?
A Battlestar Galactica?
Yes.
I like that so much.
Kelsey's version. That's the next podcast we do is Battlestar Galactica.
Like that flows so nicely. I don't know why it does. To me, it flows very nicely.
Oh, no. Because both are hard consonant sounds.
Yeah. It just, oh man. There was something, because I got that about the shirt was in the IMDb trivia. Yeah, the Battlestar Galactica What the Frack shirt Salma Hayek wears was custom made for the episode. It has since been made available for sale.
Mm. Something I really enjoyed about this storyline is we get another great, Elisa always does this thing where she mixes up the phrase cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Mm-hmm.
We get this one, we got loco for Choco Puffs.
Yes.
Choco Puffs. And Amy reminded me, I had forgotten that she says cuckoo for Cocoa Poops.
Oh, was that another one she said?
Yeah, so there's three, because I also love Cocoa for Cuckoo Puffs. It's so funny.
I love it.
I don't know why I find that adorable, but it's a weird runner to give a character that she cannot get the Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Like, who? Like, no one would say,
who
like, the
that?
Normal way, yeah. Like, on a regular basis.
Uh-uh. She's and cool. Now that's, like, the one cereal she eats, apparently.
Mm-hmm. This is what I'm going
to
say from now on.
Is that
like,
the
oh,
secret to a hot
Puffs.
Body? It's just Cocoa Puffs. Is that what we've learned?
She just eat Cocoa Puffs and watch Battlestar Galactica
all the time.
This is not fitting. This doesn't make sense. I love it.
I love that.
The Selma Hayek diet.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I like that a lot.
I think we should also talk about night cheese.
Yeah. Well, so, yeah. Sorry. Yes. You can talk about that.
Well, I just think we should. I just think
it exists.
We get it. It happens. We're finally. Anyone who's been listening and has been watching along, you now know why we have a lot of cheese in our visuals.
Yes.
Because of this. Because her and that slanket, which she loves and says multiple times, it's not product placement. I just like it.
Mm-hmm.
It does look very comfortable when she wears it.
When this will we learn, I'm pretty sure. I can't remember if it's in the or it's in some article I read. Like they had to pay so much money for her to sing that song.
Why?
Because it's based on a real song.
What song
it's
is Night?
Well, it's Night Moves.
It's, yay! It's
Bob Seger.
Oh,
I'm surprised it's such a short clip. You'd think it'd be short enough to be fair use.
You'd think,
but I guess but
they had.
No?
I remember I had this argument with my friend a couple of months ago because I didn't know who had sung it, and it was like this whole thing. And I remember looking it up then, like, oh yeah, they had to pay a lot of money for it in order for them to use it.
Good for Bob Seger.
Yeah,
fight those fights, those really big hills. Take it, get your money, Bob. If I sing it right now, am I gonna have to pay Bob Seger some money?
And believe you are paying for that. I'm not.
Working on my.
You can bill Kimberly Lucas
at Kimberly Lucas, not anything else.
Yeah.
It was great to have that moment. That's all. I just wanted to celebrate it. It's beautiful. And the other thing I wanted to say is, actually, no, this has to do, I think we should talk about Tracy. There was nothing else I really wanted to cover this week.
Yes, we have to talk about that whole thing.
We have to talk about Tracy because I find this deeply funny. And this is a big moment if we're talking, particularly we have someone here who loves canon from what you do and story canon. This is a huge moment, Tracy, when we find out that he does not cheat on his wife.
Where it has, you've thought that the entire, with the amount of strip clubs he goes to and just little things.
The way
he
treats women in general.
Yeah, you assume that he's got his own little female entourage that he can just hit up whenever he wants.
Because, you know, freaky deekies need love, too.
They do.
Freaky deekies need love, too. But he does not cheat on his wife. We found out because Jack, for some reason, turns to Tracy for advice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well,
I think did he go to Liz first? And
he's like, no. Yeah. Because she's the closest thing to a man.
Mm-hmm. Because the pranksmen are the worst. No, you're right. He goes to Liz, and she's like, "Well, bro, I guess you got to find yourself a comely geologist." So he turns to Tracy for help.
Well, because the reason why he goes to Tracy is because it's the 20th anniversary of the first time that Angie and Tracy met in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And they met when she was working at Diker Heights' Arthur Treacher's. Do you know what that is?
No.
That's a fish restaurant.
Yeah, it's like a Long John Silver equivalent, Arthur Treacher's. Have you ever been to one?
No, I think I must have had them in Michigan because I remember them.
You've seen
Interesting.
It?
I don't think I've seen it. I just maybe saw commercials or something.
Okay. I heard it and I went, what did they just say? I'm like, oh, Diker
Heights. Just went in one ear and out the other.
Shrimp is a food recurring theme in this show. And so this is another example of
shrimp popping up as a fancy, meaningful food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Tracy was residing there. Living at the Arthur Treacher's. But so I think
that's funny now that I know it's a Long John Silver's.
Uh-huh.
That's entertaining.
Why does the Pope like Long John Silver? Like that whole thing. Isn't that a whole thing that comes up later on?
It is.
But yeah, so Tracy's trying to figure out what present should he give his wife? The jean jacket with hot bitch in diamonds or a slinket?
For sure.
And
hot
you get
bitch.
Sue modeling the slinket over there in the
I know
corner.
She's so good at it too.
And then Tracy says, "You're wise, Liz Lemon, like a genetically manipulated shark." But I think because that's why Jack goes, I think because that's just the theme, like, oh, clearly he knows a little bit about love. That's like, I've been rewatching Parks and Rec, and there's this whole scene where like Leslie Knope walks in and she's like, "Well, because we're all whore about love," and Jerry's in the corner like, "My wife Gail and I have been married for 21 years and and she just like kind of ignores it. A very successful marriage to a very beautiful woman.
Christy Brinkley, dear God.
So then Angie tells Tracy that he wants her to get a tattoo of her face and her name on his body.
Smart woman, label her man. She's labeling her man.
There's labeling and like also I don't want my face on anybody.
I have to beg to differ.
you
This is what I require now. No murderers. My face on your body.
Wow.
I drive a hard bargain, Matt. I'm glad we're all getting to know each other in this way. No, I love this because this is one of those perfect Grizz.com Tracy interactions where you get Grizz is trying to .com is trying to pitch like, okay, she made this crazy request.
Yeah.
What do we do? And that moment where he draws the little mustache and he adds the mane is Tangiers. And then just like, yeah, that's what I want, a gay lion. And then poor .com being like, the Tangiers football team is a lion.
Mm-hmm.
Tangiers is in Morocco.
Yeah.
And doesn't Grizz, I think Grizz says, or is it .com, says, there's no judgment in brainstorming.
Yes. No judgment in brainstorming.
Grizz says that.
Yeah.
I love that. I wrote, when I saw the picture, I was like, oh, like, she looks like the lion from The Wizard of Oz. And then I was like, well, duh, it's a lion. I'm like, no. The Wizard of Oz lion is a human face with a lion. That's why it looks like the wizard from Wizard of Oz.
Mm-hmm.
I said the wizard from Lizard of Oz. It is the one.
Gattlestar Galactica.
I am now just having dyslexia today is what we're learning.
If we named our episodes like other podcasts do, it would just be called Gattlestar Galactica.
100%. Mm-hmm. 100%. But so that ends where he ends up getting the tattoo of Tangiers on him.
Yeah, because he's drunk. That idiot. I'm just a high-functioning alcoholic.
Yeah.
So we learn like Tracy's a high-functioning alcoholic, not a cheater.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And Jenna's not a sociopath, just a
high function, narcissist.
Something narcissist, a class.
Extreme narcissist. There we go.
You're right. We learned so much about the characters.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We learned they're not completely terrible. Mm-hmm. They just are slightly terrible.
Yes.
Just slightly.
I love that we learned that Kenneth calls his harmonica a mouth radio.
God. Oh, no. That's up there with Waterbug.
Yeah.
Channel
on my
changer.
Channel changer.
Mm-hmm.
I love that a lot. We had a couple of Frank hats in this episode. So we had at the beginning, Frank had a hat that said space gravy, and then later on it said flower, and then he put the fedora on top of it and it said fedora,
mm-hmm.
which I liked.
Mm-hmm.
The one other thing I'd say is that the guy who wrote the AV Club article for this episode did not like this episode because specifically because I guess the Office episode, they were saying how like they ended Salma Hayek's run at the same time. Idris Elba's run was finishing on The Office as Charles Meininger. And they're like, he was just like, that was just such a good episode, and that they didn't really like this episode. But I did like this episode.
I really enjoy it. I think I'm just sad to see Lisa go. Mm-hmm. I love her very much. What did you think, Matt?
I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen an episode in a while, so it's hard to compare it to what other episodes were in this mm-hmm. particular season, but a lot of laughs, a lot of good times.
Does it make you want to keep, like, rewatch 30 Rock?
A little bit, yeah.
You have a week to do it before it falls off of Netflix.
Okay.
It's pretty tragic. We're mourning over here. We're very sad.
Yeah.
But that's all. I think I just had a couple lines I really
liked.
Yeah,
any favorite lines? Do you have any, Matt, that you like from this episode that you can
I mean, that was that no judgment in brainstorming I thought was really perfect.
Mm-hmm. I really like that Tracy says, the one, she's the one. I got that after watching The Matrix, which is so funny.
That whole the one, El Uno, that thing was a great little comment. And Jack's like, where did you hear that? I love the line, oh, I had it bolded. Where did it go? Pete is yelling at the guys, and he's like, I hope you guys learned a lesson, like, while Lutz is getting patched up. Because of you guys, we almost lost a monitor. Not Lutz got hurt and could have died. No, we almost lost a monitor.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and we also learned that Jenna's animal rescue shelter is supplying quesadilla meat to animal amusement parks.
So gross.
So nasty.
I just want to add, this is the last thing I really, really enjoyed. I love that he calls her Liz Lemon Cool J. That's one of the better Liz Lemon names that he's given her. I thought that one was, because I had to think about it for a sec. It was adorable.
I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm. But that's what I thought for this episode. It was a really good one.
Yeah, I think so. I'm trying to see if there's anything else that I wanted to make sure we said.
Rest in peace, Elisa.
Yeah, we see her, I think, once more. Way, way, way later on.
Yes, oh gosh, it's a long time.
Yep, way later
on. It's a long, long time away, but...
I think that's it for the episode.
Then. Oh, then I'm going to add one thing. I thought it was really, really... Here's two directorial choices I thought were very good, because this is what I bring to the table. I love that right when she's poisoning Kenneth with strawberries, there's a very sinister version of Muffin Top playing in the background.
Wait, when?
When Jenna is poisoning Kenneth.
Oh,
there's
okay.
A very sinister version.
I like that. That is just Jenna's song.
It's really... anything Jeff Richmond does. And then there was one other moment, but maybe I can't find it. Oh, I just love that I literally wrote The Rise and Fall of Brian Williams. That's it.
I know. Oh my goodness, that he gives out the fake phone number and it calls Brian Williams.
It just always makes me slightly bittersweet. I love how funny he is on this show, but it just makes me really bittersweet when I see him. I'm just like, oh, bummer.
Yeah.
He should have just stuck with comedy and never gotten into journalism.
Worked for his daughter.
Yeah.
Worked out great for his daughter.
I don't know what that reference
is. Allison Williams was on Girls.
Oh, yeah.
And then she married the creator of Funny or Die. Oh, the head of Funny or Die. So comedy's doing great for her.
She was Peter Pan, right?
Yes. So comedy's doing great for her.
why can't Brian Williams be in Peter Pan?
That's the Peter Pan I'd watch.
Yeah.
He plays Hook. It's really good. That'd be really... Actually, I'm really into this idea now.
It's like a very, very dry, deadpan Hook.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm Hook. That's my Brian Williams impression.
It's really good.
Oh, thank you. Oh,
I really appreciate it. I felt like he was in the room right then.
Matt, where can people find you as a person online, and if you have any shows and stuff, and then also make sure to plug your podcast?
I'm on Twitter at Mansur Matt. This is my last name first, first name last. My podcast Skeeterial. You can find that on Boardwalk Audio, boardwalkaudio.com/Skeeterial, or we're on Twitter and Facebook. You can like and follow us there. That's about it. Help us find Skeeter. We're very worried.
I like it. You can find me places at Redheaded Blonde on Instagram and on Twitter. That's it. That's the only places you can find me.
At Kimchi Lucas, go. It's just going to be a lot of photos from my hike, so that's all.
And then you can find our podcast places at Talk 30 Rock to Me on Twitter and Instagram. Send us emails, talk30rocktome@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook. And we're still willing that if you leave us a review and then send us an email saying, hey, I just left you a review, we will happily send you one of our podcast stickers.
They're really dope. Do it.
Yep. Cool. Well, yep, they are. Thank you, Matt, so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
This was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right. Well, bye, guys.
Bye.
This has been a Boardwalk Audio podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.